Jesse Smithy from Five Star Preps, thanks to Henley Roofing Company. Smithy, how's quarantine life, bro?
Man, we're just trying to find time to kill time, so to speak.
I hear that, man.
You're sharing a guest lineup today with Rick Barnes and Steve Forbes, so this is a solid three guest lineup today. So we appreciate you being a part of it.
I'm opening up for them, or vice versa.
Well, you're opening up for them, but
you'd be Rick Barnes' opening act right now.
Okay, all
right. I think, for now, you know, this is, you know, for now anyway.
Okay, we'll see. We'll see where it goes.
I think we're it's more like a festival. It's not even really the opening act. You posted one of your another one of the oral histories, which I love the layout of oral history stories across media, but you have one of a famous Maryville William Blunt game back in 2007. This setup gave you the opportunity to talk to some people who maybe wouldn't have otherwise been able to give you some of their time on this. What was the crux of that night and that game?
Well, that game's always kind of piqued my interest because I wasn't able to go. And I had to go to my best friend's wedding over in West Tennessee. And this was a huge showdown. Maryville was obviously defending state champion. They'd won the last three state championships in Class 4A. They were number one in the state in 4A at the time. They had a 49-game win streak. And William Blunt's really never had much football tradition at all. They'd never been past the second round of the playoffs. But here they were, 4-0, state ranked number four in 5A that season. And that community of William Blunt was just worked up there was just so much excitement around that football team that year. They switched to a kind of a Tony Franklin style offense, and it was really a nice match for their personnel. And so there was a lot of belief in William Blunt that this was going to be the year that they beat Maryville and or had a chance to beat Maryville and stop this win streak. And as I was over at that wedding in West Tennessee, I was getting text messages from that game, and it was a lot closer than it was supposed to be. And then there was a controversial PAT that some people said was good and some people said wasn't good, and the officials said it wasn't good, but it's still talked about to this day, and people still bring it up. And that win streak eventually reached 74 games for Maryville, and on that night, it could have stopped at 49. And so it was a good chance, like you said, Brian, to talk to some of the people involved, to talk to George Quarles, to talk to Scott Meadows and some of the former players from both teams, and kind of get an idea of what that night was like and if that PAT was good or not.
Talking with Jesse Smithy from Five Star Preps each week, thanks to Henley Roofing Company and henleyroofing.net. Smithy, what's going on right now? If you're a high school athlete, obviously spring sport athletes are still probably trying to do their best to work out. And I don't know. I'm asking. What are kids doing right now?
It's still a holding pattern. I texted a board of control member the other day from CWSAA and said, hey, where do we stand in all this? What's next? And he said, hey, you know, we're not scheduled to meet again until I think June. He goes, we'll probably have another conference call here in the next week or two, maybe, to kind of get an update on what the CDC is recommending. And but right now we're just, like you mentioned, the athletes are trying their best to stay in shape. And I see coaches posting workout suggestions on social media for their players to do, whether that's football or baseball or soccer or whatever, and just trying to find a way to communicate with all their athletes. And I'm sure they're putting their trust in those kids that they're going to do those things to try to stay in some semblance of shape. And I see social media videos here and there of, you know, some basketball players playing pickup games that they probably should be playing, but it's hard to keep teenagers inside, especially really good athletes. So right now the plan is still to try to host the state basketball in mid-May if the CDC continues to hold on to that 8-week window of no events of 10 people or more or 50 people or more. But guys, just the way things are trending, I have a hard time believing we're going to be doing anything basketball-wise or spring sports-wise.
Hey, Jesse, I read yesterday that under the current rules that exist, coaches can't meet with their teams via Zoom because it's considered a practice. Do you think that they'll look at changing that just from a, you know, we've talked in the college coaches that we've talked to over the last week, both on the air and behind the scenes, they've said to a person how important those Zoom meetings have been, not to find out what their kids are doing sport-wise, but just from a mental health standpoint of bringing some normalcy to getting kids together. Do you think that they'll look at that at all going forward because of the mental health implications of, you know, teams trying to get together even informally in a group chat?
Well, I think it's okay for basketball teams and spring sports teams for them to meet via Zoom, but not for other sports like football or anything like that, or the ones that aren't supposed to be practicing, so to speak.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's an unusual time. There's not really precedent for this, and so I'm sure that they will look at that in terms of what teams can do and can't do in unusual circumstances. So I think they're trying to use some type of judgment on this. But yeah, I think it's okay for the basketball teams that were supposed to still be playing in the state championships and for spring sports teams to meet via Zoom, but not everybody else.
Talking with Jesse Smithy from Five Star Preps. Again, if you don't go to it, fivestarpreps.com. It's, what does it cost per month, Jesse? Is it $6-$7, something like that?
$6.99 a month, but we're offering a 20% off promo code through the end of May. That's HBD5SP, and I've been posting that all over social media. You can get that off your first monthly payment or yearly payment. So our yearly subscriptions are $69.99, but 20% off gives you a big chunk of that off. So a lot of people have been signing up for that.
That's a great thing to do if you want to support the people that are supporting local sports here in East Tennessee as it continues to rise up in every sport. That's kind of my generic question and lead into that, Jesse, is what do you think overall, what's our status of East Tennessee high school athletics, spring, winter, fall, everything, just where are we at? Because I remember coming to this part of the country in 2004, watching a Maryville Alcoa football game and my mind being blown. And it just seems like from then to now, East Tennessee high school athletics have significantly raised the brand and the mark for every sport around here. Where are we at and where are we headed?
Well, I think East Tennessee's always been known as a football kind of centric place, obviously because of what's right there in the backyard with Tennessee. But over the last 20 years, you've seen basketball grow. You've seen baseball bring home just numerous state championships. Softball has really spiked over the last 15 to 20 years in terms of the talent and the championships won, not just with Gibbs, but other programs coming to the forefront and making a name for themselves. So it's really grown across the board as better coaches have come to the area, better training and off season travel ball has gotten so much better here over the last couple of decades. So it's really a balanced area in terms of all sports. And that's why we do what we do. We put a lot of effort and time into football, but we pour a lot of resources into other sports as well.
Jesse, your series at fivestarpreps.com, the new QBs, how is the lack of potential for spring practice going to affect some of those schools that you've written about in that series thus far?
Yeah, it's going to be difficult for some. In some cases, like a Maryville, you take their kind of new QB1, Carson Jones, and he's a guy who got plenty of playing time last year, even though he's going to be a new guy. So he was set to play baseball this spring, and the football coaches weren't really worried about his development because they knew what they had in him. But in other cases, there are teams that had two or three guys that they're trying to decide among. And they needed these spring practice reps to really try to find which guy was going to be able to perform and under some pressure-packed circumstances, and which guy the skill players really had some chemistry with, and they're not getting that right now. And who knows when they're going to get that, whether it be June or July. And so it's really kind of all up in the air right now for some of these programs who are having new quarterbacks. So it's definitely going to be a series that we have to revisit as the season goes on and the off season goes on. And we typically do that anyway when we get into the 7-on-7 portion of the summer. But these coaches are really going to have to expedite the way that they bring about their quarterbacks. And it's going to be difficult for some.
Agreed.
Jesse, what's coming up at 5starpreps.com before we talk to you again next week?
Well, we are working on another kind of historic football game story, the 1991 Central Oak Ridge. Todd Helton was in that game. It was a state semifinal game. So we're working on that and some other feature stories from around the area as well. We're trying our best not to make it all COVID-19 type of related stuff. I was kind of getting fatigued with that. So we're finding some really good feature stories to hit on, and we got plenty coming down the pike over the next few days. So check out 5starpreps.com for all of that.
We'll do it. We'll look forward to talking to you again next week.
All right, appreciate it, guys. Have a good one.